This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Bree McQuaid,
Gail Moana Johnson,
Alison Middleton,
and I am Stuart Burks. Now, Gail, you were born in Palmerston North.
Yes, I was. Yep.
And it wasn't that long ago, was it?
Well, in comparison, no, no, it wasn't. Yep, 1994, January 7th. I was born here at the Palmerston North Hospital.
Yep.
My mum's Leslie, dad's Brian, and I've pretty much been brought up here most of my life, although I've lived in Fielding. I lived in Fielding for a little bit and down south in Christchurch. Random, I know. but otherwise, yeah, mostly here in Fielding. Actually, we lived in Taupo for a bit as well in Tūlangi, but I'll talk more about that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Went to 10 schools.
No. 10? Now, why was that?
Moving around a lot, yeah. Majority of them were in Palmerston North, though.
Yeah. Was that your father's work or just moving house? Or?
No, just moving house. So, actually, I was mostly brought up with my mum. So, mum and dad split up when I was about 4-ish, I think. I kind of still remember it. Me and mum just moved
around. Can I ask what you remember?
Back then, they just used to argue all the time, and I just remember in Fielding they had an argument. My dad left, and mum was like, you know, stay inside. So I was like, okay. And then when she didn't notice, I ran away. But we were living in Fielding at the time, and I ran from our house, which was on, Derby Street, Fielding, and I ran all the way to the other side of Fielding. Fielding's not big, but huge for a four-year-old.
Yeah.
And I ran to Dad's house.
You knew where his house was?
Knew it.
So they've been separated for a long time, and you...
No, that was kind of like the ending point then for them. Yeah. But I still remember that.
So did you still have a close contact with
both
parents?
Yeah. My mum and dad ended up being really good friends after that. They just weren't the greatest together.
Okay.
But they were really close friends after.
Yeah. So is that why you went through quite a few changes when you were young?
Yeah. But the start of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So how long did you stay at school then?
I finished school. Okay. I got my level 1, 2 and 3s. So my first primary school was
North Street
Primary School in Fielding.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know which order, but I went to West End, Central Normal, Terrace End Primary School here. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm missing one. Yeah. I'll come back to it if I remember.
Okay.
And then I went to Ross Intermediate here in Palmerston North. And I went to Freiburg High School, and then we moved to Tūlangi. Well, we were in Taupo first, and then moved to Tūlangi, where I attended Tongariro. It's called Middle School there. Mm-hmm.
So you could speak Māori?
So-so.
You learnt it then, or you...
Nah, not really. Like, I knew all the basic words, but I couldn't speak a conversation fully in te reo. So just no basic words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you change in school so much? Did you find you got a stable group of friends, or you kept
I have a stable group now. I met so many different people, and I found that I was becoming quite reserved and quiet. So each time that I'd move schools, I just wouldn't really make friends, because I just
People fatigue and
probably move again. So
yeah.
So I found that, but I come across people that I've met throughout all those schools, though, like all around New Zealand, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we went to the school together, and it's nice to have those connections everywhere, even if I only knew them for a brief moment.
Okay. So were you working towards things at school? You had ideas what you wanted to do afterwards?
Not really. I always wanted to finish school, but I hadn't really planned on what I wanted to do after school. I just wanted to finish it. That was just finished, because not many other whānau members that I knew back then had finished. It wasn't a thing. They just finished school at high, like, I don't know, 14, 15, and drop out and go do something else.
So you were mainly in a Māori community and mixed with Māori?
Nah, a bit of both. So I wasn't really brought up with family, but we all grew up like it. So it was just friends that my mum had met along the way. My mum and dad had met along the way. I did see my family, but I wasn't really brought up.
So was it the sort of culture where sort of close friends you call uncle and auntie?
And uncle, had billions of those. Everybody was auntie and everybody was uncle.
So what sort of social circles did you have? Was it on a marae or in a church or?
Like when I was younger?
Sport group,
My mum is different. She met a lot of different kinds of groups. So she went through, like, her Christian phase, and then mum was a really bad alcoholic, drug addict. So she went through that phase, so we knew all those kinds of people. She went through a hippie phase. Like, she just went through all these phases, so I've met all walks of life growing up.
Did you have siblings?
I had one brother, but he was brought up with his dad's side of the family. So I only met him when I was 8 and he was 21.
You said his dad's side of the family.
Yeah, we got different dads. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was 8 when I met him and he was 21. So there's a 13-year gap between us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I think you told me at another time that you went to a different type of school, didn't you?
So it's called Whaka Te Pūria Teen Parent Unit. That one. Yeah. So I fell pregnant. It was during, what year is it? Level ones?
Year 11.
Year 11. Nice. So that's fifth form, eh? I was going through year 11 NCA level one exams, and I found out I was pregnant. So I was 15 at the time. Found out I was pregnant. I'm like, what? No. I don't know. I just wasn't expecting that, obviously.
Well, it wasn't in your plan.
Wasn't in my plan. I was at Awatapu College here in Palmerston North at that time, and they were so supportive. They were really amazing when I told them.
So it's a teen parent unit within the school?
Not at Awatapu.
Okay.
TPU is part of Freiburg High School.
Okay.
Yeah. But Awatapu College was the last high school I went to.
So you got pregnant clearly quite young. Were you a bit of a rebel, or it was just in your social circle these things happened?
I was definitely known as the undercover bad girl. I was a teacher's pet, definitely. Okay. I always did my work.
Yeah.
But during lunch breaks, out of school, whatever, I would, you know, go off, have a cigarette, drink, go out to town, do things. So I was the under, but otherwise I was always on top of all my academic work.
So what was the teen parent unit like? What sort of experience was it?
Oh, it was amazing. Hands down, I'm so glad I went there. Awatapu College did say, you know, you can come back if you want, you know. Well, they never told me to leave, but they were like, feel free to come back. I had heard about the teen parent unit, so I went and had a look there, and I actually already had a friend who was there. So I was like, yeah, I'm coming, because she was a close friend of mine too. And I went there, and they have a daycare attached to it.
So you go there when you're pregnant or after you've given birth?
Yeah. Okay. So you can go there when you're pregnant and
then so continue. How was it? How large was it, and how was it different from normal school?
So I think they have a maximum. I couldn't say how many, but I wouldn't say more than 30 at the time. At that time. So there was maybe like 20 of us there. It was a very mixed group of girls too.
Mm.
When I started, I was one of the youngest. Mm. How was it different? So there's the head teacher, Jenny, she's still there. And she's one of the founders of the Teen Parent Unit too.
Mm.
And so she's the head. And then they have a couple of other teachers. There was a few teachers while I was there who kind of like left and then would get new teachers in. But they have a set maths teacher, and sometimes, depending on the availability, there's a set English teacher. Otherwise, girls can go up to the school as well. They can take classes up at the normal high school. Otherwise, they do a lot of te kura, homeschool.
Which is,
correspondence, So there's that option too, and then they just have the daycare.
So there was no attempt to sort of keep you separate from the other children at school? Or
no,
you just
we can
mix in and...
Well, it is separate.
But sort of socially embraced and everything,
but
you're just
girls,
part of the school.
The girls can go up there if they chose to, but they didn't have to. And a lot don't because their babies are down. So, there's a lot more one-on-one
help.
And they usually, there's a social worker that goes in as well and helps, and they source heaps of other education providers to come in and help, so like early childcare, first aid, travel and tourism, all those things.
Now you were into smoking and drinking and you got pregnant, and then suddenly you're responsible as a mother with a young baby. Was this a major change for you, or you tried to carry on the same lifestyle?
It was hard because I was so young, and I was still at that phase where I was like, but I still want to be cool and hang out with my friends, but I have a child. So the dynamics did change, but not for a while. I was still kind of stuck in that mentality of wanting to go and still be a teenager.
What about the child's father?
Kind of was in the picture. He actually went into jail when my son was a newborn, pretty much. And he was,
was he much older than you?
No, it was like a year or two difference, a year and a half.
So what,
like
was
that.
There a legal issue about it?
There should have been. Technically, because he was 16 and I was 15, so I'm technically a minor.
But they thought with that so close, they weren't
nothing.
And so was he supported in having an active role as a parent?
I would say so, but he was kind of still really stuck in the drug scene, alcohol scene as well. But his parents were awesome, though. Are awesome. They're still 100% helping.
And you got... Did you get a lot of financial assistance with you with a young child?
Working income.
Was it the DPB you'd be on?
But I was on I don't know if it's not a thing anymore, but it's because I was underage, so technically I didn't qualify for the domestic purpose benefit. I think I went on a sickness-like thing first and then switched over. And I got a lot more help because my mum was a beneficiary herself, so they didn't need to base anything on income. Because I have my own dependent, if that makes sense. Everything changes. So, got heaps of support.
Okay. Now, so how old is this? Your child?
Yeah, well, I got two.
You got two. Okay.
Bang, bang.
So, very close together. Right?
Yeah, 16, 17 when I actually had them.
Okay. So how old are they now?
They are 8 and 7. Yeah, my son's 9 in August.
Okay.
Growing up.
Just putting it out there, I'm 25. No.
Yeah. Okay. It is interesting, you know, there's that program they have sort of 7-Up, and where they start in Britain, but in fact now they're broadcasting one for South Africa, and I don't know
what's
if they've
that one?
It's something where they got a group of children from different backgrounds in England when they were 7 and interviewed them all. And then they went back when they were 14 and 21 and 20, and they're still going that way. And it was interesting because when they did the latest one, I think they might even have been 42 or something. They were getting quite old. And the person behind it was out here talking about it. Yeah. And he said there were some, like the teenage pregnancies, and the thought then was, well, that's their life gone, you know? And then he said, but no, actually it meant because they had the child that young, the children were grown up by the time they were sort of 30-ish, and they had time to have a whole new life, build up businesses and so on, and they'd have all the different life experiences.
Yeah,
so
I always calculate it. I'm like, when I'm 32, no.
You'll be a grandmother, yes.
Possibly, and hopefully not at the same time. Funny story. My daughter, so she's 7, she asked me, she's like, hey, Mum, how old were you when you had Xavier? And I didn't think about it, and I just said it. I was like, oh, I was 16. She was like, oh, so I can have a kid when I'm 16. I'm like, no. She's like, what? I don't get it. And I was just trying to make it sound really terrible. I was like, you can't go see your friends. You can't. But my daughter really loves school. So she was like, oh no, I'll wait. I'll definitely wait. I'm like, thank you.
Okay. So as a mother with that young with a child, you would have mixed with other mothers and they'd be quite a bit old. I mean, in these days, you get some who are having their first child at 35 or 40.
Yeah.
So how did you all... Did you mix?
I think I stuck a lot with the mums at the teen parent unit. We've all became really tight because we were all young mums, so we all had that common ground. I know heaps of mums that are older than me. I feel like that I've mixed quite well with older parents too, but everyone always says it to me. They're like, you're so young, but you're so mature. Like, what? No. And I've had that pretty much my whole entire mum life. They're like, what? You don't even act your age. You act so much older. So I kind of just clicked with any ages.
So you finished school with 2 young children. Mm-hmm. What did you think then? Oh, I'll go on the DPV and raise these 2 children?
No, but I mean, technically I was still on the DPV while studying. No, I definitely didn't want to stay on it, but that was just because it's something that I was brought up with, and I didn't want my kids to think it was normal.
Now, that's interesting, because they do say one of the problems is the beneficiary things get carried through the generations, but your family was it your mother saying don't, or your own idea, you didn't want that?
It was definitely I didn't want that. I did not want my kids to think it's okay to just stay on a benefit forever.
So what gave you the signal to see it differently?
I suppose I've just seen a lot of crap. So and after I had my own kids, I was like, they are never ever going to go through or see what I had to.
So at 16 you felt a really strong sort of parenting responsibility
in some sense. Because I was still stuck in those habits that I thought were normal, so it was hard to try and break that. So I ended up moving out when I was 17. I got my own house. I was pregnant with my daughter at the time, and I moved out because I was like, because everybody just used to drink and smoke and everything. I was like, actually,
was that from your mother's friends and that the environment?
When I was living back at home, and then they just used to do that. So I was like, actually, this ain't okay.
Okay,
got a house, moved out, I mean, I still saw them and stuff, but at least I was away from the drama.
Okay. I'm impressed that you had the foresight to see that was.
It took ages though, because legally I'm not allowed to rent a house at that time because you have to be 18 to legally sign documents.
Okay. Yes.
So my kids' nan not my mum, their other nan, like, signed it for me and to be my guarantor and stuff until I turned 18. Yeah.
Mm. What was that like, you know, having to have those barriers?
It was hard. It was annoying. Because, you know, when you're a teenager, you know everything. But it was. It was frustrating. But I was just super lucky that I had heaps of support, especially at the TPU and with the kids' grandmother, so supportive. I had really good friends too, so I was just really lucky to have that, because a lot of people in my kind of situation probably wouldn't have that.
Did you feel sort of social pressure or stigma from people?
All the time.
Such as? How was it expressed?
Well, you know, I just always used to hear, you're too young, or you've thrown your life away, or, well, now you're just going to have to be this for the rest of your life. And I'm like, ugh. You're like... And, like, being a young Māori teen mother, like, that's probably, you know, people just look at that like, well, So back then it was hard, but I also kind of had the I don't really care or whatever approach to it. Like, it's all, well, it wasn't all good, but I just still had to rise above that. But there was one time we were at the hospital and I had to take my son for a chest x-ray, and I was pregnant at the same time, and I had my mum with me, and obviously they, because I was so young and looked young, I looked back at my photos now and I'm like, we went in and the lady's like, oh, you're bringing your little brother in, and, you know, just assuming.
Yes.
I'm like, oh no, this is my son. And she was just like kind of shocked and like, oh, like but all those assumptions that it wasn't my child was annoying. I'm like,
like, not accepted as much. Why would you choose to do that?
And because my mum had me at quite an older age, I don't know why it used to annoy me, but everyone used to think she was my nan, but but just all the assumptions around things without actually asking first.
Those things are true in these days as well. Some people are having the first child quite late, or in fact, going back when my children were born, it was an earlier time, you're looking at sort of early 1980s and so on, and I remember there's someone, she'd had two or three children and then a gap, and then sort of by mistake when her kids were teenagers she fell pregnant again, and then there she was with a baby, and she, it was so embarrassing for her. But these days there would have been a lot of women having their first child at that age. There's been a lot of changes with all that. So how do your kids ever say anything about the situation? This is it.
I've got another story now.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I took my son to his hockey game, and my daughter was just talking to one of the other parents, because I'm definitely one of the youngest parents at school. And she was talking to this other mum, and she was saying how old I am. She was like, oh, my mum is so old, and blah, blah, blah. And this mum was like, well, how old is your mother, dear? And I think I was 23 at the time. And she was like, oh, 23. And the mum's like, oh, like, darling, your mum is definitely not old. But it's funny how children think that I'm ancient.
They see their perception,
Anything like time, 2 years older than them is like, oh, my God,
they're
old.
So
time goes slow,
I'm 100 to them, so.
Okay. Now, but you've been planning longer term as well, though, haven't you? So what did you do after you finished school? What did you do?
So got my uni entrance in level 3, because I was 19 and I wanted to go to uni, and you need university entrance if you're under 20. And I actually had a toss up between doing a bachelor. I wanted to do psychology, social work, or Māori visual arts, so just a toss up between those. And I was like, okay, if I do psychology, it's going to take me forever to actually be qualified, so I'll take that out. And then I had to toss up between art and social work, and I decided to go with social work, because I was like, actually, at the end of this, I'll get a job. So I was like, I'll do this, and I'll be able to get a job easily with this qualification.
Okay.
And I loved it too, so that's why it was hard to pick between the three. And so, yeah, I carried on and I got into Massey University doing my Bachelor of Social Work, which I got two more papers left and I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
So, finally,
Okay. And so, what sort of social work would you want to do?
Well, I'm currently already working. So I work in the mental health and addictions field.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a new, your family background helps? Gives you insights for that? Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. It was actually a field that I was trying to avoid because I didn't want it to bring up past emotions or get triggered. So I actually tried to avoid it the whole time. But I had to do my last fourth year placement last year, and every other door was just closing because I was also working at the time, so I was working and studying and doing placement.
And being a parent.
So that was last year. But every other door kept slamming, and I finally found a placement, but it was with mental health and addictions, but they were the only ones flexible enough to work around my already employment and my children. And so I was like, okay, I'll do it. But I've fallen in love with it and I still work there.
Okay.
So, yeah, they offered me the job 3 weeks into my placement. So I was like, yes, I'm here, pay me.
Very good. Now, you mentioned you're Maori and you had some Maori background.
Yeah.
I suppose that there's two aspects to that. One, is your Maori background and experience useful in the work? But also in the education, did you find there was a conflict between, say, the university-style education on those issues and what you'd see for Maori community?
Yeah. So I'm half Maori, half Pākehā. So my dad's Pākehā and my mum's Māori, and I've kind of just been brought up in a mix of both of those. Yeah. When it comes to Massey, the social work degree has the best lecturers, so I have had no issue with the way that I write assignments or because I communicate with them too, so it's all about communication with them. If I hadn't have done that, then I probably wouldn't have been able to continue on. So they're really fun orientated too, so I always look back and I'm like, thank goodness I chose social work, because they're all a bunch of social workers, so they should be understanding. I've never had an issue when it comes to that aspect. Okay.
What about the content in the textbooks and stuff?
I've not personally.
You've not seen a difference?
Well, there's heaps of differences, but I think I've grown up to be able to kind of understand why there are differences. Like, world views are different for everyone. I've just been brought up to kind of understand that. But if I do have, if something does challenge me, though, I would more than happily challenge that with my lecturers. But actually, this isn't right. And they're all open to listening and looking into it.
Thank you for listening to Manawatū Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatū People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatū Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.